Respected Chairperson, Mrs. Lata Reddy, esteemed fellow panelists, ladies and gentlemen. At the outset, I must thank IDSA for giving me this opportunity to share my views on cybersecurity. Even though everything has probably been covered in some form or the other, what I will do is that I will go through the presentation. And if there are any issues which come up later, can be discussed during the question answer session. The advancements in technologies are changing the very nature of war. Just as the industrial age led to the concepts of mechanized warfare, the emerging enabling technologies are heralding the era of information war. The erstwhile physical attritional models are giving way to nerve-centric, paralytical models. Combat superiority based on lethality, accuracy, and mobility is going to increasingly share its importance with info assurance based on network resilience and redundancy. Similarly, the society is also undergoing a change, which has extensive implications on the governance and security of a nation, in peace as well as war. The dividing line between the civil and military have blurred, and so have the consequent effects on the overall national security. Coming on to the threats that we in the armed forces perceive, although the scenario has already been put in the report and spoken to by General Aditya, but let's take a scenario closer to what we in the armed forces would be affected by. Now, you add to this the denial of service attacks on the aviation sector, plunging air traffic into disarray and making airspace management impossible. Railway networks sending trains on collision course and blocking strategic routes. Satellite communications, naval ports, and armed forces communication networks, to name a few, being attacked through cyber domain, either planned during peacetime or physically through cyber warriors. The resultant effect, the mobilization of forces from peacetime locations is disrupted, and the availability of force levels to defend borders or launch offensives is reduced in the few initial and critical days. The command and control and surveillance capabilities are adversely impacted, and there is loss of situational awareness and synchronization of military activities. The situation is now ripe for the adversary to launch his offensive against a disorganized, disoriented, isolated, blind, and vulnerable forces. This is just the beginning. With increasing sophistication of military weapon systems that rely on automation for quick response, and increased accuracy based on advanced guidance systems, the danger is also from the embedded malwares and reliance on services provided by foreign agencies. While the Scud missiles of Iraq may have failed due to reasons of technology, strategic weapons failing because of malwares and providing duds in actual war are not only embarrassing for any nation, but may throw the overall warfighting strategy into disarray. In a nutshell, gentlemen, cyber warfare has the potential to ground the best laid out strategy and operational plans. Gentlemen, military defeat is not acceptable to any nation. Therefore, this final instrument of ensuring national security can ill afford to lose information war in cyber domain. The threat is real in this increasing centric a network-centric battlefield environment. Some of the challenges which we in the armed forces face. The transformation from a conventional army to a network-centering army is throwing up a number of challenges which need to be addressed on priority. And if we have to leverage the opportunities that are being provided by the cyberspace. Security is all about people, process, and technology, And as such, there is a clear need on focusing on people and processes while attempting to use the best available technological solutions. Human capital. Our effectiveness in cyber field is to a great degree predicated on our ability to train sufficient numbers of qualified personnel. There is an urgent need to increase the number of trained cyber professionals and deepen the level of their training. But even as we strengthen our cadre, it must be recognized that long-term trend in human capital is against us. There are issues of availability, training, retention, remuneration, which even a country like US has also recognized. Hiring experts is an option, but then there are also issues of work ethos and organizational culture. While somebody described how does one fit a uniformed, disciplinarian, working in a hierarchical framework with missions, orders, well-set, laid-out rules, with persons who want to defy authority, set their own rules, have no fixed working hours, detest uniforms, and it's a bonus if they are wearing shoes. The situation demands out-of-the-box solutions, especially change in the mindset of the armed forces if we have to have a pooled trained manpower at the disposal of our armed forces. Next is the awareness. The present level of cyber awareness already brought out in the country is not up to the desired level. The armed forces are no exception. There is a need to enhance cybersecurity awareness by undertaking exhaustive awareness campaign that inculcates a better cyber hygiene and use of best practices. Now, gentlemen, in this field, a lot has been done. And what I can say is, perhaps what has been done in last 1 year is more than what was done in the last 5 years. We need to create a cyber mindset at all levels. But the problem is what? In the forces of more than a million, every year we add 60,000 new people. That is minimum. And therefore, the task of creating this cyber awareness is immense. Social sites, it has already been brought out. Faces like Facebook, Twitter, and Orkut is there. There is an alarming rise in activities of hackers through these sites, especially to target defense personnel. And they have tremendous scope of perception management, manipulation of information, if I may say so, laying honey traps and gathering intelligence. In such a scenario, the moot point is, can we totally insulate armed forces from the impact of social networking sites? Maybe not, since denial is not the solution. And to top it, defense personnel are also having their families. Now, we can't deny the families from these social sites. And they are equally vulnerable. And this brings in a totally new dimension to the cybersecurity in the armed forces. Coming on to asymmetric warfare. Unlike conventional warfare, cyber war can be launched by a nation or independent elements with a very few cyber warriors against a numerically and technologically superior adversary with devastating effect. Easy availability of technology and tools has empowered individuals to change the power equations between the nations. So we need to worry about everybody. Unlike in the case of, say, nuclear weapons, where only few countries have it. As Indian armed forces get more modernized and networked, the threat is also increasing exponentially. Staying in the race. The threat in cyber domain, where countermeasures are based on current management process, they are desynchronized, if I may say so. The threats are moving at a pace of geometrical progression. The answers are coming in arithmetical progression. And the gap is widening all the time. The challenge, therefore, and not only to armed forces, but everybody, is to remain ahead of the rogue nations, bad boys, and anti-technology marches. The current management processes aimed at addressing cybersecurity issues perhaps need a relook. Every passing day of inaction or no action will ultimately put us behind by at least a week and force us to play a catch-up game all the time. And therefore, we need path-breaking ways and means to overcome this friction. Militaries across the world are exploring ways to achieve superiority in cyberspace by investing time, resources, and money like never before. We must understand the gravity of today's threat scenario and realize that strong cybersecurity measures cannot be evaluated in traditional return on investment or buck for bang criteria. Sufficient funds are to be made available and heavy investment is required. The problem is the outcome will always be in intangibles and visible. Like one American said, there are no heroes here. Therefore, financial support will always be accompanied with mistrust and doubt. And therefore, it is going to be hard to come by. The requirement to undertake forensic investigation, to draw correct lessons from incidents and establish correct procedures to prevent the same in future will also increase. Forensic investigations are a challenging task as they require resources in terms of infrastructure, qualified personnel, which are limited, and painstaking efforts are required for detailed analysis. Mobile networks and more connectivity will further increase the problem. I already said the problem from the embedded malware. To prevent this is a serious challenge. The vulnerabilities are not necessarily limited to software applications, but can be present in hardware components as well. The majority of ID products used in India are manufactured overseas. So how to ensure that no malware is present in the systems now being procured? It's a serious problem, and the problem is further compounded due to absence of some worthwhile facilities in the country for detecting such vulnerabilities. While production may be a long-term solution, we need to focus at the short term. Another challenge is, unlike conventional war, cyber warfare is ongoing activity, and in fact is more pronounced during peacetime. In fact, peacetime is more of a misnomer, and it might be happening now as we speak. It will be a challenge for all of us, not only to institute safeguards, but to stay one step ahead of all the type of adversaries all the time. Towards the end, I must say that to prepare our forces for the emerging cyber threat landscape, we need to give impetus to capability development in both offensive and defensive cyber activities and evolve a clear-cut strategy to assist services to remain on the cutting edge of technology and infrastructure. And I think the task force report probably is a stepping stone to that. As well, also, just as the military defends against hostile acts from land, air, and sea, it must also be equipped and mandated to respond to hostile acts in cyberspace if required in a quid pro quo manner. And lastly, gentlemen, we need to change our mindset, processes, and technology, and change fast. If existing rules do not allow it, then change the rules. Thank you.